Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I'm Chrissy Crash, a former smoker, drinker, fast food eater, unhappy bartender, transformed into a roller derby athlete, runner, and fitness coach. Each week, I'll bring you an insightful guest or lesson learned from my own perfectly imperfect life to help you uncover how to create more love, light, joy, and health in your everyday experience despite the chaos and challenges. I believe that life is a contact sport. Let the games begin. This episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast is brought to you by A Crash Course in Transformation. If you want to get fitter, faster, stronger, leaner, happier, more organized, and just have a super badass life, then A Crash Course in Transformation is for you. Through customized workouts, nutrition education, one-on-one coaching, and a badass community, we help you create the life that you love and get on the path to sustainable living in just 12 weeks. Click the link in the show notes to join us or go to ChrissyCrash.com. What's up, my friends? Chrissy Crash here. Super excited for a new episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast. Disclaimer, being recorded on my iPhone headphones, so we'll see how this goes. Here with one of my Costa Rica Nosara besties, Maddie Carlson.
Hi!
I'm so excited we're finally doing this.
We did.
Dude, it has been a fucking long time coming. If you guys ever see me doing Pilates in my stories, it's because I'm doing Maddie's Pilates classes that she does online, and they're fucking dope. How did we meet?
I think we met through a mutual friend, but over a year ago. It was through Sandra. Yeah, through Sandra.
Through Sandra. It's so crazy. It's been so long.
Yeah.
You're such a magical, sparkly butterfly.
So are you.
Oh my God. So Maddie and I went surfing this morning, and the waves were gigantic. And I had the world's greatest day of surfing. Yeah. I just want to put it out there. That's why we're talking about this. Because I was so... Today was like one of those culminating days of like... I'm terrible at surfing. I suck at surfing. Why am I surfing? And then today I came out and I was like, I am the greatest surfer on the planet.
I know, you definitely had that moment today. I was like, whoa, girl, you were going for some monster waves.
Dude, confidence was fucking up today.
Yeah, you need those days, though. Otherwise, I think we'd all give up surfing.
Seriously, because some days it's so hard. And it's you're like, why am I here? Yeah. I feel like I sucked all of the wave energy though today, because you were having kind of a shit day, Rebecca was having a shit day, and I was like, I am embodying all the wave energy.
Yeah, you were definitely having a good day. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it was fun watching you. It was good.
Oh, it was fun. So Maddie and I wanted to get together and have a conversation because, you know, obviously she and I both work in the fitness space, and we really feel like there's like a lot of, you know, a lot of people, I think they seek out fitness because they want to be happy. Mm. And I know from personal experience that like fit doesn't necessarily equal happy. And I think that a lot of people look at you because you're in such like phenomenal shape. And I think this is how we kind of got on the topic of like, just because people are in amazing shape, one doesn't mean that they are happy,
yeah,
quote unquote, happy with their bodies. But two, like it also doesn't mean that you have to be in amazing shape to love your body.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's about redefining fitness, really, yeah. Because it's like, what is fitness? Is that someone who is on a super controlled diet and who doesn't have a social life and who's beating themselves up through exercise and who still don't love themselves even though they might look great from the outside? Is that being fit? Like, to me, that's not being fit. Is it someone who is super vibrant and happy and who is living life to the fullest and looks after their bodies and doesn't judge themselves for eating stuff that might not be super healthy? Like, that to me is fit.
Right. Right.
Because it's physical and mental fitness. It's not just about the physical part. Like, how we feel within and how we speak to ourselves is super important.
It's so important. I feel like I'm praying... Like, I feel like I see that shift happening in fitness, and I'm praying that it's not just that my awareness is shifting for myself, and therefore all I see is that. Like, I'm really hoping that, like, the fitness space in general is making that kind of a move.
I hope so, too, because I think it's very kind of, like, also, how do you call it? Like, it excludes a lot of people. If you think that fitness is about, like, having a six-pack and, like, being super disciplined with food and fitness and living this super controlling life. Like, the reality is that A, most people don't have time for that kind of stuff. And B, like, everyone isn't designed to have a six pack. Like, how about that? Like, so like, okay, so you're never going to be fit in your life? Like, no.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that, like, I would say, totally making up a statistic, by the way, but, like, 80% of people that have six packs, it's not because they worked out to get one. It's that they just naturally are, like, shredded. Like, you and I have very different body types. Like, you're just naturally very lean, and I'm naturally, like, a little bit thicker. You know what I mean? Like, for me to pursue your body type, I would die. I would die.
I know. And that's the thing. It's just, like, I read this quote recently, and it was, like, imagine, because when you think of the, like, perfect body images over time, like, we have the beautiful Marilyn Monroe, you know, and what a body, like, she's just using sexiness, and she's beautiful and gorgeous and everything. And then we had Kate Moss. And can you imagine if Marilyn Monroe had grown up in the same era of Kate Moss, and she had tried to look like Kate Moss? Like, that would have been miserable.
It would have been horrible. I actually just saw these pictures on Facebook that made me so happy of Marilyn Monroe. Because there are these photos of her, and she looks beautiful, and she's, like, glowing. And she has a belly, and she has cellulite. And I'm just like, yes, like, why, like, at what point did we stop, like, just embracing women for, like, their beautiful, like, round, soft femininity and, like, turned it into this awful thing?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's when we try and, when we think that we're going to be happy by looking a certain way, that we kid ourselves and that we become actually really miserable.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's true. Like, I've always been pretty lean, and I've always been very much into fitness and so on. But I definitely went down that dark path of, like, wanting to look different and not liking my body. And people were like, oh my God, Maddie, you're so disciplined. You're so amazing. You're so fit, blah, blah, blah. But I felt like shit inside.
Yeah.
And so even people who look at you from the outside might think, like, oh, you know, you look great. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but I feel like crap. Like, so it means nothing. The way you look at the end of the day doesn't really say much about how you feel on the inside.
Yeah.
And then I've had other times where, you know, I've been a lot leaner, but I've been really, really happy and feeling really, really good. I think it's just my body's changed over the years. And for sure, there were times where I was bigger and I was maybe not so happy, or I was bigger and I was happy. Like, it just doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, there's so much more to it. It's the inner dialogue and how you look after yourself and where you're at in your life and how you look at things that truly matters, right?
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is, like, looking at what we can control. Because
the
reality is, like, I know that I will never look like a lot of bodies do on the internet. Like, I'm in good shape and I love my body, but, like, I went through a lot of times where, like, I hated my legs, I hated my cellulite, like, you know, and obviously what was reflected on the outside was the fact that I was emotionally eating a lot, right? Like, I had a lot of anxiety, and as a result of that, I was, like, stress eating, and that cortisol in my body and all those things. So obviously, like, as I got more relaxed, as I got, like, mentally healthier, I also got physically healthier.
Yes.
But part of it, too, I think, is, like, accepting that, like, the bodies that we have are the bodies we have, and I think a lot of people really struggle with that and, like, what to do with that. But I think it's like anything in life. There's shit we can change and there's shit we can't.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's about, A, as you say, accepting our bodies, accepting what, and celebrating our bodies for everything that they do. Like, at the end of the day, like, our bodies are flipping amazing for everything that they do, right? And then just not trying to, like, compare ourselves or trying to look like an ideal image or something like that, because it's just really detrimental to our health. And as you say, that's what leads to emotional eating. That's what leads to being stressed out. That's what leads to not appreciating your body anymore. And at the end of the day, like, I always, when I work with clients, I always say to them, like, because I work with quite a few clients who are, like, you know, in you know, body size zero, like, you know, size zero women who hate their bodies, who are not happy with themselves. And I'm like, listen, like, instead of beating yourself up with exercise, depriving yourself from food, and, like, feeling shitty about yourself, think about Sophia Loren. Sophia Loren has curves, or Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. These are women who don't fit the, like, you know, size zero whatever image, but they're flipping beautiful because they're vibrant and you can see that they're happy in their bodies.
Yeah.
And I think that that is so much more important than what flipping size you are.
Yeah. Yep, I have an amazing client. Shout out to Chelsea Walsh if she is listening to this. So Chelsea started with me, I want to say about 3 years ago. Is it 3 years ago, I think? something like that. And she's lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
And, like, it's been so magical. Not because, like, she now has, like, a ripped six-pack or anything like that. You know, I mean, she's an amazing, beautiful, curvy woman. And she just, like, the way that she glows, though. Yeah. Like, she wears fucking halter tops. She wears short shorts. She doesn't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. And I think that that is the thing that's so magical. Like, it's not about finding that perfection, but it's about, like, stopping from deciding whether or not we're good enough based on what's outside. And, like, that was the thing when a couple days ago I posted this reel, right? Yeah. And in the reel, like, I'm wearing this, like, little bikini, and I pull my shorts off, and I was like, I used to hate my butt and legs, but now, like, I've just decided to not listen to what anyone says and just love myself anyways. Yeah. And some girl commented, and she was like, I hate it when these women talk about, like, body positivity and loving themselves when they're already in great shape. And it's like, like, I just want, like, everyone to get that it really doesn't matter what size you are. I would say 100% of women deal with insecurities around their body type. And I think that until we can all... Doggy! Real life here, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Ocha. But yeah, I think that until we can all, as women, like, get to the point where we're, like, we're also supporting each other and we're also accepting, like, hey, everyone is going through this. It doesn't matter what they look like on the outside.
100%. And I love that you're bringing that up because I think it's a work in progress. It's not like you one day wake up and decide that you're going to love yourself and not care about what other people think. Like, even for me, like, it's every day. I'm like, have moments. And when I get criticism, because I sometimes get criticisms as well.
I've,
like,
seen your criticisms on your page. You're like, this girl's so skinny.
Yeah. And, like,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm like, fuck all these people.
Yeah. It's just like, it's really, and I'm like, I'm a person. Like, I'm dealing with my own shit as well. Yeah. Like, don't tell me what and sometimes it really gets to me. Other times I'm like, okay, but sometimes it does really get to me because at the end of the day, as you say, like, I would say 100% of women have insecurities. And when other people pick on you, like, it's not because you might think that, you know, this or that doesn't affect me. Of course it's going to affect me. Like, you know, and I fought hard to fall in love with my body. It took me flipping years of hating myself to get to where I am today.
Right.
So for someone else to tell me that I'm not good enough the way I am, like, whether that's too skinny for them or too fat or too this or too that, like, F you. I'm sorry.
Fuck that guy. But, like, you can say it. You can say it on this podcast. That guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Like, I'm sorry. I've finally gotten to a point where I love myself. So why should I listen to you who's not happy about how I look? Like, I'm happy with how I look.
Yeah. How do you feel like it took you? Like, what did it take to get to that point, do you think?
Oh, God. I think I just realizing that what I was doing was just not making me happy, right? Like, the constant beating myself up. And I'd say, like, it's not like I've achieved it. It's not like I've gotten somewhere and that I've never, like, it's every day, it's a choice. It's just like, I just realized that beating myself up and not liking myself was making me unhappier, and it was actually triggering me to do stuff towards myself that weren't good, like more like self-harm, like
punishing yourself,
punishing myself with workouts, depriving myself from food, and then binge eating. Like, that was all led by me not liking myself.
Yeah.
And once I started, like, understanding that and I started looking after my body, I realized, like, oh my God, my body responded so well. All of a sudden, like, I had cortisol induced, like, you know, a pouch around my belly as well as a result of cortisol. Mm-hmm. And I thought that by beating myself up, I would get rid of that.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. And it wasn't until I actually got injured in the end and that I had to slow down. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to reconsider this whole strategy. You know, this whole strategy needs to be reconsidered.
Yeah.
Because clearly beating myself up and, like, depriving myself from food and being really a bitch to myself, if I may say, is not working. I'm not looking great. Like, and I'm definitely not feeling great.
You know what? I noticed that too. So I used to train 2 days, like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I was weight training. I was playing roller derby. Like, I was working out a fucking lot, right? Like, scraping and crawling to get to that point. And it wasn't really till I moved to Costa Rica and, like, chilled out and, like, goes to the gym, like, maybe a couple days a week and, like, I just do, like, active stuff outside that I've really sort of fallen into, like, the body that I always wanted.
Yeah.
And it's such a mind fuck because, like, I'm like, but I need to be going to the gym more. Like, I should be going to the gym. I should be doing that. And I'm like, but, like, my body is happy and, like, it doesn't hurt. And I'm, like, stretching and I feel like my core is getting stronger. And, like, as a result, I think of not taking all that extra time in the gym, like, I feel like my body is not in that like defense mechanism mode mm-hmm. of being under attack all the time.
I think it's amazing what you're saying, and I think like I speak a lot about that a lot, and I get a lot of kind of flack for it because sure. people are like, well, you're naturally skinny, you're naturally, and I'm like, no, because when I was going to the gym every morning at 5:30 a.m. and during a workout, I need to come home, have breakfast, and then go back to the gym,
yep.
and then do a run in the afternoon. Like, I was running like 70 kilometers a week. I don't know what that is in miles, but it's a shitload.
It's like 50 miles
yeah.
a week.
And I was going to the gym every day.
Yeah.
And I was doing horse riding. Like, I was exercising constantly. And I was actually in much worse shape than I am now. Like, now my body feels amazing compared yeah. to what it did then, because I wasn't listening to my body. I wasn't listening to when I was tired. I wasn't stretching. I wasn't giving myself rest. I wasn't giving myself all the self-care I do today. And actually, I'm much leaner now than when I was completely obsessed yeah. with exercising at that time. I think it's so true. And I think it works. I've seen it in my clients that aren't the same body type as me or whatever. Like, and they've lost a lot of weight, or they're just happier in their bodies as a result of changing this, like, go, 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 go. You need to go to the gym. You need to go to the gym. You need to go to the gym
yeah.
like 5, 6, 7 times a week, and you need to hone your bodies. Like, no one's going to feel great from doing that. Yeah.
Well, and I love what you just said, because two things. One, the rest thing.
Yeah.
Because I think we so over-rely on fitness for health, when really it should be like in the order of like rest, nutrition, and then fitness. And people are like, fitness, 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 fuck everything else. I'll just outwork my diet and outwork the fact that I haven't been sleeping.
Yes!
You know? And then the other thing that I think is so great is that you and I have very different, I think, client bases.
Yes.
Right? Because we look very different.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of women that look like you tend to gravitate
yes.
towards you, and women that look like me tend to gravitate
yes.
towards me. And I think it's great because we both have the same principle and philosophy, and
yeah.
it doesn't matter the size. Like, my girls are getting great results working out 3 days a week, having a step goal, and watching what they eat.
Yeah.
And it's like,
great.
And it's so simple, because it's like, it's taking away the excess stressors.
Yeah.
It's getting enough sleep. It's relaxing your body. And like, I think that that works regardless of your body size.
Exactly. I love that you're saying that, because yeah, that's 100% what I believe in as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even, I think, just about weight loss, right?
No.
Just to be clear for what we're talking about, like, this is just like overall health stuff. It's like, number one is like, how do we take care of our bodies on a daily basis? And then number two, how do we really like start to foster love for like the body that we have?
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things I remember when I was studying to become a holistic health and nutrition coach. Like, we went through all the different diets. Like, we learned about them all.
Mm-hmm.
But what it boils down to is like, if you want to lose weight, if that is like, you need to address your health.
Yeah.
And so the health always should come first.
Yeah.
The weight loss will come after, but you can't do it the other way around.
Yeah.
You can't compromise your health in order to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with a client right now who's still in that mindset of wanting to like use pills, laxatives, all these kind of things in order to lose weight. And I'm like, hold on, health comes number one.
Yeah.
And once you get the healthy gut, once you get your healthy mindset, once you get your head in the right place, the weight loss, if it's meant to be, it will follow.
Yeah.
You just got to trust that, and it will be a lot more effortless and easy and enjoyable than if you're trying to bypass that.
Yeah. And to try to do it for like all the wrong reasons. Like,
yeah.
One, learning self-care.
Yeah.
And learning how to like take care of the body and like really like express so much of it. I feel like at this point for me is about like just expressing like love and gratitude for my body. Like, I notice when I'm pushing too hard, like, I'll get injured like that. And it's like, it's because, okay, I'm not listening. And
yeah.
like, and I feel it. Not even just injured, but like, I'll be too tired or I'll be too exhausted. And I just notice like, okay, I'm not in tune. I'm not listening, because I'm at this point now where I'm not going to just bulldoze over it. So when it happens, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, body. I love you. I love you so much. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I think you and I have the same approach around this, but we still also have our own old demons, right?
Yeah.
Coming up sometimes.
Bruh.
Yeah. So.
Especially in this town. Like, you guys, we live in this town in Nosara, Costa Rica, that is full of the most beautiful, fit people on the planet.
Yeah.
That are all like, I feel like forever going to be between the ages of like 25 and like 35, and just gorgeous and perfect, and like, it's for me, it's so easy to get in my head of like,
yeah,
I don't look like that, I'm not teeny, I'm not this, I'm not that. When you look around you, it's like the comparison here is like mind-blowing.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, but I think it's what's really interesting, what's always drawn me to you, is that you are unapologetically you.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. And even when I am giving a fuck, I will fake that I don't give a fuck until I get over giving a fuck. Because, like, seriously, like, at this point, especially like for me, like, my cellulite is not going away. I get it. Some of my Instagram videos, my butt looks really great. But if you shine that thing in the right light, dude, my ass is cheesy as fuck. I will happily provide a photo if y'all want to see it. But, like, it's one of those, and it's like, you just have to get over it. Like, cool, I'm never going to have smooth thighs. Am I going to never wear short shorts? Fuck no.
Like, but you know, it's funny because it's like, all those things that you say about yourself, like, I never noticed those things about you.
Really?
Never. Like, I see you as Chrissy, who's like happy and full of energy, and like, and I think that when people say that, because people used to say that to me too, like, no one would notice, because if I was upset that I had so like, Maddie, no one's gonna notice. And I was like, well, of course they're gonna notice. It's so horrible. I can't wear these shorts, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, if you have that type of energy that you have, and that you're like, this is me, like, then people are attracted to that, and they don't see whatever you're seeing, you know?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we do as individuals is we pick out all the minute details. Like, we pick out that spot that we hate, or we pick out, like, the shape of whatever, and then we can't stop looking at it. Whereas, like, I have seen some, like, beautiful, big, curvy women that are not, like, they're not skinny, but they just, like, are in that power, and they wear what they want, and you just look at them, and you're like, fucking damn. Like,
I know, right?
Yes, boo, get it. Especially here on the beach, like, some of the women in some of the bathing suits they wear, I'm like, fuck yes, bitch. You wear that fucking thong, and you go. Like, it's so great.
Oh, for sure, for sure. No, I think that's so important to just, and that is attractive, right? Yeah. And that's, not only is it attractive, but it makes us feel good to
feel
like.
It makes us feel good.
That's what it is about, like feeling good within your body. And I think that that is something also that I try to raise awareness about, is that it's not because you are thin, or that, you know, I know people look at me and they're like, oh yeah, you have a great body. But it's like, that doesn't mean that I'm always feeling good in my body. Yeah. You know, I also have times where I'm like, oh, or, and now what I'm trying to prioritize with my fitness is, what makes me feel good mentally, and prioritizing that.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, well, in order to feel mentally good today, I need to go and surf, or I need to do a really grounding practice because I'm feeling really kind of airy and stressed out. Mm-hmm. So really prioritizing what makes my mind feel good, because I know that if my mind is in the right place and that I feel good about my, like, that I'm caring for my body, everything else follows.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's a completely different mindset to the one I was in before, which was like, go and beat yourself up. You need to go and burn some calories because you had some ice cream the other day. And, you know, you're not going to be able to fit into your clothes anymore. And you're probably going to get more cellulite, blah, 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 blah.
You're going to earn it. You're going to earn the food.
I'm going to earn the food. I mean, come on. Like, no. Like, done with that. Yeah. Done with that.
Oh, God. And that's that mindset, like the earning food mindset.
Yeah.
I feel like it is, especially for women, we feel like we have to earn everything.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we have to be busy so that we can earn love and respect. We have to be pretty, or, like, work out so that we can work out so we can earn food. Like, it's just, like, I'm just done with it. Something I'm working with a lot of my girls in my awakening program on right now is, like, just being able to, like, pause and, like, you're worthy of love right now. Like, all of us as human beings are, like, worthy of love right now. We don't have to prove it or earn it.
No. Exactly. And that starts by giving it to ourselves, right?
Yeah. 100%.
And that's hard.
It is hard.
That shit is hard.
Shit is fucking hard, man. I know for me, on, like, the body side, though, like, the biggest thing that I had to work on, and I teach my girls this in, like, week 2 of my program, is, like, starting to notice the thought patterns and, like, the habit patterns, like, when we look in the mirror. Like, what are, like, your mirror habits?
Yeah.
Because I really, for a long time, like, I would always just zone in on, well, that's not right, and that's not right. And now, instead, I always, like, I really now try to focus on the things that I love about my body. Because if I can just focus on the things that I love about my body and, like, see them, then that's how I started to, like, see myself as who I am. Because, I mean, they're all there, the imperfections and the awesome stuff. But it's, like, which one am I going to live, like, is my reality, you know?
For sure. And if we want to, we can pick our bodies apart all day long, like, you know. But I would say, like, I
I don't really use the mirror that much because I just, I know that if I start like looking at myself too much, I'm gonna find things about myself I don't like, you know. So I'm like, and I threw out the scales years ago because that was just like, I had to do that for my mental health. Like that was just something I did many years ago because I think that otherwise it's so easy to go back into that kind of,
just be obsessed with
yeah.
it. To be obsessed with it. Yeah. I pretty much dumped the scale when I got here.
Yeah.
Scales and mirrors. Yeah, since I moved to Costa Rica,
right?
Got rid of scales and mirrors, and I've never been happier. Like,
right?
My mirror is like my bathroom mirror. I can't see anything from like my chest down. So like wearing something cute, and I'm like, I wonder if this looks cute. I'm like climbing up on a chair to like look at it in the mirror, and it does. It makes such a difference to be like, how do I feel in my body versus how do I look? And that was, so I remember the day that like I realized that like there was like something quote unquote wrong with me. Because I was like in middle school and I was wearing a crop top and I was going to the mall and I crossed the street in the mall and this girl, these two girls driving by in a car, like, oh, look at that girl and her jiggly belly. And I was like, all of a sudden I was like ripped out of my like pure innocence of like thinking that like everything was great to like being like, is there something wrong with my belly? Why would they say that? And then I would cover everything up because I like all of a sudden I realized like, what do you mean? Like I didn't know there was something wrong. It was such an awful moment. But like I wish that, I feel like now little girls, they see that so young. Like I was blissfully allowed to go until middle school before realizing like that image was a thing. But like these girls today, oh.
Yeah. I mean it. I'm hoping that things are changing, as you say, and I think, like, it's not about saying that we, you know, I think it's, what, because I feel like we're very fortunate that we have two different sides of the thing, mm-hmm. like, of the spectrum, right? I think, like, the whole movement of wanting to have plus-size models or bigger models, like, I think that's fantastic, but then you don't want to take away all the other girls either. Like, there needs to be a plethora of different bodies, like, and celebrate all bodies, like even the thinner ones, and don't exclude them and don't bully them and don't shame them. Like that's not nice either, guys.
Right.
Like it's not because you're thin that you should be picked upon, just like you shouldn't be picked upon because you have a bigger body. Like we can all celebrate all sizes and support each other in loving our bodies the way they are. Like that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the nature of like the pendulum of things, that like it went so far in one direction that now as it goes back in the other direction, the natural inclination is to like be like, okay, well, if we hated big bodies, so now we're going to like hate little bodies.
Yeah.
Like if we can come back to the middle where we're like, oh, everyone's body. Like, and as long as you're like, I'm not saying that any bodies are wrong. I'm just saying like, there is a point where it's like, you do need to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Though. Like, I think that the only thing that I find slightly dangerous about the body positive movement is that there is this point of it's like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to be body positive. I'm not going to take care of myself. And then it almost gets used in this weird, like, context of like, well, I'm not going to, like, feed myself well or take care of myself. And I'm going to feel like shit, but I'm going to put, like, this body positive, like, sticker over it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you bring that up because I think that is so true. That's not what it should be about, really.
Right.
It should be accepting yourself for whatever and whatever you are, but still looking after yourself. Like, no one's going to feel good by eating crap and not looking after themselves just because you can put a body positive sticker on yourself. Like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, though, you know, because obviously we want everyone to feel good in their bodies, but, like, I'm just such a proponent of like, let's just take care of all bodies.
Yeah.
What if we just took care of and loved and cared for and moved and fed all bodies well?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
It's a great plan.
I love that.
So what do you feel like, so in terms of your program and stuff, like fundamental principles of like self-care, fitness, what does that look like for you guys?
So what I really work hard on is focusing on quality over quantity, only because I noticed that was a big changing point for me. I was always into, you know, counting calories, pushing myself to stay on the treadmill for 50 minutes until I hit, like, I don't know, and really going into the quantity a lot and always thinking I needed to do more and eat less or being really harsh. And now I'm like, no, how about we focus on
quality and doing things well when it comes to how we move our bodies. Like, how well can you do a certain movement? How present can you be in your body? How much can you breathe through that movement? How much can you feel that you're flowing through that movement? How much, you know, those kind of things. Not how much, but how well does it feel on your body? And then when it comes to food, the same thing, like focusing on quality of food instead of like obsessing over quantity. Because if you feed your body well, the quantity will adjust itself, because you're finally going to start being able to trust your hunger.
Yeah.
And you're not going to go around starving anymore, and you're not going to have toxic hunger anymore. You're actually just going to be able to listen to your body. And I think that's one of the things I learned when I studied nutrition, is that our bodies are extremely intelligent and they're pretty damn flippin' perfect.
Yeah.
And so if we learn how to listen to them when they need food or when they need sleep or when they need different things, like, that's when our bodies feel their best. So it's about learning to listen to the body, reconnecting, and start to trust yourself. Because I think that part of the reason I was so miserable for many years, and part of the reason the fitness industry can be so harmful, is that they take away our trust in ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Oh.
It's like, do this and you'll be fit. And it's just like, how about I do what works for me and I listen to my body. And even if I have a workout plan that tells me that I should work out 5 days a week, but I feel really tired 2 days, I'm still an amazing human for, you know, sleeping and listening to my body and giving myself rest on the 2 days I was tired.
Yeah.
Like, that should be celebrated too.
And that's so interesting what you said about the trust thing. Like, I think that at one point in the rise of the fitness industry, it behooved trainers and fitness professionals to make everything complicated. Because if it was complicated, then we didn't feel comfortable doing it ourselves. We weren't sure of ourselves, so we need to go and pay someone to give us the secret information. When it's like, fuck, man, it's like, just if we just eat real food. It is very hard to overeat whole foods.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're eating a fuckload of vegetables, like, it's really hard to accidentally gain weight eating a shitload of vegetables. Even fruit. Like, people are like, oh, don't eat a fruit, it'll make you fat. But then they'll, like, go and eat a bag of chips. Like, I would rather you ate 15 apples.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which would really be, like what, like, 700 calories or something, than, like, a chocolate bar, which is 700 calories.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to overeat real whole foods when you eat them.
Exactly, exactly. I so agree on that. And I think the whole, like, I did a TED talk about this, how everything has become so complicated.
Yeah.
And the people who are truly benefiting from this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the fitness industry, it's the food industry with all their labels and all this bullshit, like healthy, healthy, gluten-free, gluten that, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's the big pharma, because people are getting sick from what they're eating. And so I think that, as you say, I love how you're saying, it's actually not that complicated. It's actually pretty damn simple, but we've taken away people's trust in themselves and listening to their bodies, because people have wanted to benefit from this in a big way and make a lot of money from people not trusting themselves anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it's a fine line too, right? Because, I mean, I know you and I are both into fitness. Like, we're both in the fitness industry, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we do for a living.
Yeah, true.
But it's like, I really try to, like, simplify things. And, like, the reason why I do what I do is I want to take people and I want to be like, let's break things down into the fundamentals. Like, I always tell my clients, my goal is to make you an independent person. My goal is that you don't need me anymore. The only reason you're going to stick around after, like, the 12 weeks or the year is because you love our community. You love having, like, learning tools given to you. And you like having, like, the kind of structure that we have. But there's no, like, continued secret.
Exactly, exactly. And it's the old saying, like, you know, you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, or you can teach a man a fish and he'll live for a lifetime. And I think that we both have in common is, like, I want people to feel empowered and that they know what they need to do for their bodies. And also understanding that our bodies are all different. And my body today is not the same as I'm going to find it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so it's about adapting and understanding and working with the body, as opposed to, like, thinking that we're going to follow some flippant fitness and food plan for the rest of our lives. Like, no one's going to do that.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's crazy now that I'm thinking about this, right, as you're talking about getting older, is that, I mean, think about the fitness industry and the iteration that it is in. How long has that really been around? I mean, the first woman was permitted to run a marathon in, what, like, 1979 or something like that? Like, the fitness industry really hasn't been around in its mainstream form for more than one generation.
Yeah.
Realistically, my parents' generation was really like the first generation to grow up in like a fitness generation.
Yeah.
So like even the kinds of overdoing it mindsets that we've had, like the impact that we're gonna see on like that these generations, like my generation, the one before, from like overdoing it, like we don't even know. I mean, I noticed for myself, I'm getting older, right? And like I've really started, that's why I reached out about Pilates, because I've really been focusing on spine health and core health and all these things that I realized I was just been beating myself to the fucking ground.
Yeah, I think this is such an important point as well, because what I love about Pilates and my way of moving my body now is that, and all the people who do my program tell me this, they're like, I'm so happy that I found a form of exercise that I can do for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. and that makes me feel flippin' amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I love that. And I think that, you know, we've all beaten, like, suffered the consequences of beating ourselves up with exercise. I mean, I had shin splints that were terrible. I have terrible varicose veins. I have terrible knees. I have bad hips and all this from over exercising for many, many years, hitting the pavement and doing that stuff. And more importantly, like I lost my period, I think for a year or longer, because I was actually, so because a lot of people will be like, oh, maybe that was because you're underweight. Like, no, I was weighing more than I weigh now. It wasn't a weight thing. It was a stress thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was honing my body like crazy with exercise. And I think that is something that isn't being addressed as well, is like what that does to your reproductive health and
your hormonal system.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, I noticed that too when I did the bikini competition. I lost my period as well. Because it was 22 weeks. I lost about 30 pounds over 22 weeks, which is a lot in 6 months. Especially because I'm already like, you know, like I didn't have a ton to lose. So like losing that last 30 was a lot. And then the last couple weeks I lost my period, because it was literally like 5 days a week just eating like a little bit of asparagus and fish, like some brown rice, which are all whole foods, but just in such small quantities with so much cardio.
Yeah.
Like so much cardio that we do. Like we can just beat ourselves to the ground.
And that's the thing. I always explain this to when I work with clients. It's like we have a fight or flight mode, which is really useful in stressful situations, right? Because our bodies just focus on keeping us safe, on surviving, etc. But when we're in our fight or flight mode, the sympathetic nervous system, all the less important, and I say this within like
quotation marks,
like your digestive health, like your reproductive health, your repair, all these things, your immunity, all these things get relegated to keep you alive. So you can stay in that sympathetic nervous system for short bursts of time and it can be really useful. But the problem is when we spend too much time in that system and that we don't go back into our rest and restore and repair our parasympathetic nervous system that does take into account our reproductive health and our immune system and our repair system and all that kind of stuff, is that our health actually suffers tremendously.
Yeah.
Because these are really important functions as well, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is that I think so much of the lifestyles that people live now keep us in that sympathetic
yes.
nervous system. Our cell phones are constantly dinging. We have all of these, you know, outside stressors. We have all these things to do. We have these to-do lists. We have a million things that so many people don't even have time to pause. Like the way that we breathe, like people don't breathe. I just finished doing a module for my girls on breathing, because like so many people breathe so dysfunctionally. Like we breathe through our chest and we breathe really shallow.
Yeah.
And we never actually get like a full breath that like allows us to slow down. And I was working with one of my girls that's a smoker and she's trying to quit smoking. She's like, but it de-stresses me. And I go, well, sit down right now. Right. And I was like, I just want you to take a big deep breath in and a big deep breath out and do it like 5 times. And I was like, how do you feel? She's like, relaxed. And I was like, well, why do you think smoking makes you relaxed?
Yeah.
You're just taking slow, big, deep breaths.
That is so true. I love it. Because the breath is the tool by excellence to get your body back into that parasympathetic nervous system.
Yep.
So what you just said, like deep inhale through the nose, deep exhale through the mouth. And I always like to give this image of if you're being chased by a bear, then you're going to be like breathing really shallow. Like that, right? That's going to rev up your nervous system. You're going to go into your sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight. What if someone shoots the bear? You're going to be like... like that,
yeah.
Right? And that's what gets you to drop back into your parasympathetic nervous system. So it's just like the breath is the key.
Yeah.
And so many people don't breathe properly.
So many people don't breathe properly. It's why even just a little bit of meditation a couple times a day.
Yeah.
I would rather someone that were to meditate consistently every day than to go to the gym, honestly.
Yeah,
like that sounds kind of ass backwards, but like if I could take an hour each day and do one thing, keeping, you know, good nutrition and all those things, obviously, like if they could just take an hour a day and meditate, I feel like so many people would almost benefit from that more than they would from like an hour a day in the gym.
Oh, 100%, because that's going to have an impact on all your decisions in your day-to-day life, right? If you can keep your calm and be less impulsive, and that's one of the reasons I've integrated meditation in my program, is that I've realized that within myself and my behavior, and when I see it in my clients as well, is like a lot of the times when we reach for food or we make bad decisions, it's because we're acting on impulse. It's not because we are like truly grounded and mindful, right? So if you can become more mindful, then that's going to have a positive impact in all your decision making, and especially around food. Like, and that is massive, right?
Yeah, to like calm everything down and to like be thinking from a place of like presence and mindfulness.
Yeah.
So different. I love it. Oh, well, this has been fucking awesome, you guys. Hopefully you're getting as much out of it. I love chatting with you, Maddie.
Me too.
It's so great. We should surf tomorrow.
Definitely.
So you guys, as you're listening to this, hopefully you are getting something from this. We would love to know, you know, how is this topic coming up for you? Where do you struggle with your nutrition? Where do you struggle with your body image? Where are you struggling with? Well, it's out there. Like, I'll be happy when I have that thing out there. And then, Maddie, where can people connect with you? Because I really love your Pilates program, and I really think that everyone should do it.
Oh, thank you. So my website is fitbodyfreshmind.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram, fitbody.freshcom. fitbody.freshmind on Instagram.
Yeah, check her out. She's got good stuff. You'll see her cute little dogs, Ocha and Nelson, running around all the time at the beach. Sometimes I'll make a cameo in her videos, on her stories, like today. But yeah, I think this is a great topic, and it needs to just be talked about more, because it's, you're not going to get a perfect body and then magically be happy. And there is no such thing as a perfect body. And so if we can really find a way to love ourselves where we're at, and then choose to shift our body in kind ways, sustainable ways, like that's where the true change, that's where the true health, that's where all of it's going to come from. So thank you so much, Maddie, for taking the time to be on the Chrissy Crash podcast, because like we say here, life is a contact sport. She who touches the most lives wins. And I feel like you are touching so many amazing lives. I just love you so much.
Thank you. I love you too. And Nelson
Hayes. Bye.
Bye.